Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, August the 3rd, Pope Leo XIV wraps up the Jubilee of Youth with a celebration of Holy Mass before some 1 million young people. As Palestinians continue to die from starvation in Gaza, the government asks the international community to put pressure on Israel to allow the entry of more aid. And Ukraine and Russia exchange intensified attacks, including Moscow's worst airstrike of the year on the Ukrainian capital. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Pope Leo XIV on Sunday remembered those suffering due to war. In particular, he said, "We remember young people suffering the most serious evils caused by other human beings, specifically in war-torn Gaza, Ukraine, and every land bloodied by war." As Thaddeus Jones reports, the Pope was speaking at the conclusion of Holy Mass for the Jubilee of Youth in Rome.
In communion with Christ, our peace and hope for the world, we are closer than ever to young people who suffer the most serious evils, which are caused by other human beings. We are with the young people of Gaza. We are with the young people of Ukraine, with those of every land bloodied by war. My young brothers and sisters, you are the sign that a different world is possible. A world of fraternity and friendship, where conflicts are not resolved with weapons, but with dialogue.
The Pope's words came just before leading the Angelus prayer as he offered concluding greetings to the over 1 million pilgrims gathered for the Sunday morning outdoor Mass. He took the opportunity to invite everyone to express their immense gratitude to God for the gift of these days of their Jubilee. Finally, the Pope recalled that following this Jubilee pilgrimage of hope in Rome, the next destination on the horizon will be Asia, when the Pope will join them to celebrate World Youth Day in Seoul, Korea, from the 3rd to the 8th of August, 2027. He said, "May we continue to dream and hope together in view of the next meeting in Seoul." I'm Thaddeus Jones.
As mentioned, more than 1 million people participated in that Holy Mass on Sunday morning with Pope Leo in Rome, the concluding event of a week-long Jubilee of Youth. In his homily, the Pope reminded those present that Jesus is our hope. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
Jesus is our hope. Adventure with him throughout your life and let him enlighten you. Pope Leo XIV expressed this during the Mass for the Jubilee of Young People at Tor Vergata in Rome on Sunday morning.
La nostra speranza è Gesù.
The Holy Father acknowledged today's liturgy invites us to reflect on the encounter with the Risen One, who transforms our lives and enlightens our affections, desires, and thoughts. Pope Leo said, "Let us turn this thirst for something greater and more meaningful into a type of step stool," he noted, "like children who stand on tiptoe in order to peer through the window of encounter with God. We will then find ourselves before him who is waiting for us, knocking gently on the window of our soul." Pope Leo said, "It is truly beautiful, especially at a young age, to open wide your hearts and allow him to enter and to set out on this adventure with God toward eternity." St. Augustine, reflecting on his intense search for God, the Pope recalled, asked himself, "What then is the object of our hope? He is your hope." In recent days, the Pope remembered they had many beautiful experiences.
"And received God's forgiveness, asking for his help to live a good life."
And through all of it, can grasp an important point, that the fullness of our existence does not depend on what we store up, or, as we heard in the Gospel, what we possess, but rather has to do with what we joyfully welcome and share, and focusing on the things that are above.
Guardare in alto alle cose di lassù.
He told the young people, "Jesus is our hope. It is he, as St. John Paul II said, who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives.
Aspirate a cose grandi, alla santità, ovunque siate.
Aspire to great things, to holiness, wherever you are. Do not settle for less.
Non accontentatevi di meno.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And the Palestinian government on Sunday called on the international community to intensify pressure on Israel to fully reopen border crossings into Gaza, citing the worsening humanitarian conditions there. Nathan Morley reports.
The appeal came as Israeli authorities said additional aid packages continued to be airdropped across the territory. However, hospitals in Gaza report 7 new deaths linked to starvation and malnutrition over the last 24 hours, including one child. Health officials said the death toll from hunger-related causes since October 2023 has now climbed to 169, including 93 children. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Red Crescent Society has accused Israeli forces of striking its Gaza headquarters early on Sunday, killing one employee and injuring three others. The organization said the attack sparked a fire and claimed the site was well known to the Israeli military and marked with the Red Crescent emblem. The Israeli Defense Forces said they had no knowledge of any artillery or airstrike in the area. Elsewhere, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, has said he spoke in detail with families of two hostages held in Gaza following the release of recent video footage showing the men in severely emaciated condition. Mr. Netanyahu said he had expressed shock to the families over their state. On Saturday night, tens of thousands gathered in Tel Aviv for the weekly rally demanding the release of the remaining hostages. Daniel Cantor was one of the protesters.
We're here to remind the Israeli public that security and peace go hand in hand, and that the security of them does not come on the expense of the security of the Palestinian people. And we're here to say no to this genocide that's happening in our name.
Elsewhere, Israeli National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir visited East Jerusalem's contested Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on Sunday and called for the reoccupation of the Gaza Strip. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Ukrainian authorities say Russia launched a massive missile attack on Kiev early Sunday. It came shortly after Moscow's worst airstrike of the year on the Ukrainian capital that reportedly killed at least 31 people, including 5 children, and wounding more than 150. Stefan Boss reports that the attacks provoked deadly retaliatory strikes by Ukraine on Russian targets.
Russian residents are trembling as they witness a Ukrainian drone strike on the Ryazan oil refinery in central Russia, causing a massive fire. Ukraine has stepped up hitting Russian oil and natural gas infrastructure in response to attacks on its territory by Russia, which began its war in February 2022. Separately, officials say that a Ukrainian drone attack also sparked a blaze in recent days at an oil depot in Sochi, the southwestern Russian resort that hosted the 2014 Winter Olympic Games. Several more regions have been hit by Ukraine, reportedly killing several people. However, Russia's defense ministry says its air defense systems have destroyed 112 Ukrainian drones over Russian territory in a nearly 9-hour period from Friday night to Saturday morning. Moscow also blames Kiev for a fire near the Russian-occupied Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, Europe's largest, after Ukrainian shelling. The Russian-installed administration of the plant in Ukraine said the fire had been brought under control and that there had been no casualties. Yet it has done little to stop Russia from attacking Ukraine, which plunged into mourning over the scores of people who reportedly were killed and more than 150 injured in the worst airstrikes on the capital Kiev in more than a year. Among the victims are children and infants. Drones have increasingly become a crucial asset in modern warfare for Ukraine and Russia. The ongoing fighting and turmoil come as a setback for U.S. President Donald J. Trump, who last week gave Russia 10 days to agree on a ceasefire or face severe sanctions. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
At least 150,000 people have been killed in Sudan's civil conflict, and about 12 million have fled their homes, leading to what the United Nations and other aid organizations describe as the world's largest humanitarian crisis. Christopher Wells has more.
While the devastating war continues to reap death and destruction amid what appears to be global indifference, cholera cases continue to spread across the country, with tens of thousands of children particularly vulnerable to the outbreak. Sudan plunged into a civil war in April 2023 after a struggle for power broke out between its army and a powerful paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces, RSF. The war has led to a famine, rampant disregard for international law and the rights of civilians, and claims of a genocide in the western Darfur region. In the run-up to scheduled peace talks this week, just days after the RSF announced the formation of a 15-member governing council and the establishment of a parallel government, the African Union is pushing back. The bloc is urging member states and the international community not to recognize the rival government, warning that the RSF's move could further fragment Sudan and threatens to unravel any remaining hopes for a negotiated settlement. Currently, the army maintains control over Khartoum and much of the north, east, and central regions, while the RSF holds sway over most of Darfur and parts of Kordofan, where recent attacks have killed hundreds of people, according to local human rights groups. Even before the war, Sudan was one of the poorest countries in the world, despite the fact that it is a gold-producing nation. In the past decade or so, the powerful RSF leader, General Dagalo, has built it into a powerful force that has intervened in conflicts in Libya and Yemen. He reportedly controls some of Sudan's gold mines and allegedly smuggles the metal to rich Gulf states. The RSF's plans to form a rival government have raised fears the nation could split for a second time after South Sudan seceded in 2011. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, rescuers in Chile are racing to find the last two workers trapped in a mine after an earthquake. The state-owned Codelco company announced on Sunday that four workers were now known to have died since the collapse of its El Teniente mine about 70 kilometres southeast of the capital, Santiago. In its latest statement, Codelco said its priority was recovering the two miners still missing. It added that rescue teams had cleared 24 metres of blocked passages at the mine. The collapse of some of the mine's underground tunnels was caused by a 4.2 magnitude tremor on Thursday. Miners had been working deep below the surface. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. Meanwhile, for more on these and other stories, you can visit our website at vaticannews.va, and you can catch our latest updates on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.